So last week was one of those really graced moments where it was very clear that somehow, by God's grace, had kind of touched on something that was important, because a lot of you came to me and said that bit from St. Ignatius of Loyola, that guidance on how the evil one attacks us, that was really helpful. And I don't know that I can remember in my priesthood getting such concrete and almost universal feedback on a homily. And it was deeply humbling to just go, okay, Lord, there is something powerful here. And so it was beautiful in preparing for this week's homily to go, well, this is Laetare Sunday. This is about joy. And ultimately, Ignatius's 14 rules for discernment are ordered to help us know what spirit of God, or the spirit of the evil one, the world, the flesh, is speaking to us, and to respond accordingly, that we may orient ourselves and take action according to the good spirit, the spirit that will lead us to joy ultimately in union with God. So I'm going to lean into that again, because we know that the evil one, of course, comes to us with that biting, with those obstacles, with the false reasons to try and move us to a place of desolation. We know that we're going to experience desolation. Things in life will go wrong. There will be times where our spiritual lives feel very dry, where we feel distant from God. Of course, it's always good for us to check and make sure that there isn't sin, that we ourselves haven't grown cold or slothful, but there are other reasons. There are, of course, these moments where the evil one attacks us. And it's important to note, whether we're talking Gaudete Sunday or Laetare Sunday, both of those calls to rejoice are precisely that. They're calls, they're commands. Joy is not something that just rises up in us and we don't have any control over. Joy is something that we choose. We can choose to set our heart on the end goal of our joy, which is union with Jesus. So how do we do that? But St. Ignatius occupies himself with this question. So this is rule number 6. He says, although in desolation we should not change our first proposals, it is very advantageous to change ourselves intensely against the desolation itself, as by insisting more upon prayer, meditation, upon much examination, and upon extending ourselves in some suitable way of doing penance. So I'm going to focus primarily on those 4 things that he speaks about, the ways we change ourselves intensely against the desolation, the prayer, meditation, examination, and some suitable way of doing penance. But first, we kind of skipped over a rule, which is that in times of desolation, where we are experiencing the work of the enemy, we do not change our first proposals. Don't make changes in times of desolation. So that means if we've set our sight on some good, when resistance or when desolation come, that's not the indication to go, well, I just stop. If a priest ends up in a tough assignment, he shouldn't just go, I guess that's a sign God wasn't calling me here. No. In fact, Ignatius would say, wait until the desolation passes before discerning any sort of change outside of yourself. But inside of yourself, these are the changes that we can make to resist the force of the desolation that looks to pull us away from God. He understands, as a former soldier, that there are things that you cannot control on the battlefield. The only thing that you have control over is truly yourself. So what do you change within yourself to be able to resist the work of that desolation? So as proof that I'm not giving these insights from Ignatius on high as if I've mastered them, that first tool that he speaks of, a petition, prayer. Prayer specifically here means that petition, asking God for help. The thing I hear over and over and over from my own spiritual director when I'm in direction is, have you asked Jesus about that, Father? No, I haven't. I don't know how I skipped over that, but somehow I've been trying to figure out what's going on in me or what these problems are that I'm having or how to fix this situation all by myself. I haven't stopped and looked to the Lord and gone, I need your help. Come to me, Lord. Help me. Give me strength. Give me insight for how to speak to this person's heart. Give me peace in this relationship that I can show your love. Jesus, I need you. It's such a childlike place to begin, and I think that's sometimes why we grown-ups tend to skip over that step. It feels almost silly, but it's necessary for us to humble ourselves first as little children and go, Jesus, I need your help. Help me, please, here. So the first thing we do to change ourselves against this desolation is petition. Ask Jesus for help. And the next thing that we do is we meditate. So what are we meditating on? Well, we're spending time meditating on God Himself and His goodness. Because remember, this is to work specifically against the desolation that we're experiencing. So if there is a particular way that the evil one is biting, if there is a certain lie that we know that he's pushing, if there is a wound that we know that he's playing off of to try and hurt us, well, then we meditate not just in general, but specifically against that particular lie or temptation or wound. What does Sacred Scripture have to say about God in relationship to that? What are God's promises? What are quotes or insights from saints who have gone through similar things? What do they have to say to these experiences as people who have faithfully followed God where we find ourselves now? Or to go over, what are the good things that God has blessed me with in the past? Because desolation brings with it a kind of forgetfulness. We forget or are blinded to the work that God has done or is doing. And so this is where it's very important for us to keep track of what is it that God has given. Gratitude is not simply good in itself, but it's also an incredibly useful weapon against the desolating forgetfulness that the evil one works upon us. So it might be good in our own prayer to have just a simple list or a journal that we keep each day, noting some specific or different good thing that God has done in this day, so that when desolation comes, we can reach for that tool and remember and meditate on what it is that God has done to show His goodness. And then to think back on other times where we have been attacked by desolation. What good did God bring from that? Because we do believe that God is capable, if He's capable of bringing new life, eternal life from death, that God can bring good from evil circumstances. How has He already done that in our lives? To remember the past victories that God has worked in us and for us. These are things that we meditate on. Again, in resistance to the desolating forgetfulness that's brought about by the evil one, the world, or our own fallen flesh. I think this next tool, this next help is particularly important for us, maybe even more so than in Ignatius's time. It's this insistence upon much examination. Because unlike Ignatius's time, we have myriad more ways to distract ourselves and run away from the feeling of desolation. We don't want to think about it. We don't want to think about how bad we feel. We don't want to think about what the evil one is stirring up in terms of temptations or in terms of dryness or in terms of painful wounds. We want to get away from that. We want to numb that. We want to just not have to think about it. And so we're all about being outside of ourselves. But examination is the medicine against that. It's the resistance to that particular pull of the desolation. So we go into our hearts, not by ourselves, but with the awareness that the Lord is with us, even though we may not feel Him, and we examine this desolation. We ask things like, where did this begin? Was there a specific moment? Did someone say something to me that reminded me of a painful moment in my past? Did I see something go on that shook my trust? Did I lose something that I thought I could rely on and maybe I built too much upon? There's all sorts of things that might trigger in us an openness that the evil one uses to sow desolation. We need to be aware of how things begin, if we can, so that maybe we can address it more directly with the Lord. But even if we aren't made aware of what the cause of something is or what its beginning is, we can be aware of what is happening in our heart. And this is powerful in a subtle way because it reveals the truth to us that the desolation isn't everything. If we are able to step back out of it and see the desolation in itself, that desolation isn't everything. It's something we can examine, can take in. And if it's not total, if it's not everything, then that can move us to hope, can make it easier to resist the lie that we're never going to come out of this, because inevitably desolation does pass if we indeed are those people who are seeking the Lord, seeking to go from good to better, as Ignatius said. And then finally, he says that the last sort of useful tool is extending ourselves in some suitable way of doing penance. Some suitable way of doing penance. Each of those words is important, right? Because, again, so far, everything has been ordered specifically against the desolation that's come to us. So this means that we have to take this awareness that hopefully we've cultivated of how this desolation's weighing on us, what's happening in our heart, maybe how it began, and to go, okay, so how specifically do I take on a penance that is contrary to the desolation I'm experiencing? That means that we don't have a silver bullet of a penance to go, anytime I'm desolate, this is what I do. No, there are different tools for different jobs. So probably the most common example that's given is, in desolation, nobody really wants to stay in their set time of prayer. Maybe we say, I'm going to take a holy hour. Gosh, after 45 minutes, it is really dry, it is really boring. God understands, I'm going to be done. No. We fight through those 60 minutes. And Ignatius would say, since we are extending ourselves in some suitable way of doing penance, he'll say in a later rule, that we don't just want to persevere through, we want to actually overthrow the enemy. So we will say, you know what, I'm going to stay for 62 minutes. And you laugh, but think of how long those couple of minutes are when the last 60 have already been dry. And this is not, I'm going to show my toughness. This is actually an entry into poverty. Okay, I'm going to enter into this dryness a little bit longer in union with Jesus, because my love for Him is not based off of feelings, but instead it is based off of choice. Choice in response to His goodness, in response to those things that I have spent time meditating on in resistance to this desolation. I think of an experience I heard about when I was in my previous assignment. So I had 15 cemeteries, and the reason that I had 15 cemeteries in six parishes is because each of those cemeteries had originally had a parish with them, and that was how, over the course of more than a century, you know, those churches had closed. Well, one of those places, I mean, you almost standing on the hill of the cemetery can see the parish that's still open. When the parish that was at that cemetery closed, people of that parish refused to go to that other church. And instead, they would gather at the cemetery on Sunday morning at the time they were supposed to have Mass, and they would pray there. course, foregoing their Sunday obligation, foregoing any chance of anything new happening. And the reason was, Ignatius would say, because they had allowed themselves to be caught up in the desolation that came from that really grief-bearing sort of reality of losing a church. But what happened? Well, they allowed the desolation to change their first proposal, which is, for anything else, I'm going to worship the Lord on Sunday in Holy Mass. So I'm going to try and change the situation by doing my own thing. But what would it have been if, admitting of this great grief, they reminded themselves, first, that God wants to help them. So like children said, Lord, I am brokenhearted. And then moved on to meditation, right? The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, as sacred scripture says, and might reflect upon the ways in which Jesus draws close to those who were grief-stricken themselves, and to spend time with him, grieving with him, meditating on his closeness, as well as his power to bring new life through situations of death. Then to go to much examination. Okay, so this began with the closure of a church. How then might I continue to grow, Lord? I know this is what this is. It isn't everything. There will be new life that comes. There are ways to honor what has gone before. This desolation is not everything. This is not the end of my life. This is not the end of my faith. And then finally, some suitable penance. Perhaps it would have been signing up for an event, a sodality, a prayer group at the new parish. Perhaps it would have been going to people they knew, went to that parish and saying, hey, can you introduce me to some new folks? Step by step, extending themselves against the force of the evil one that says, absolutely abandon your faith because of this grief. So now, as we continue with our Lord, let's step back and go, okay, Jesus, where am I experiencing desolation, or where have I experienced it? And if I desire to seek joy, help me to use this wisdom of St. Ignatius of Loyola to resist the temptations of the evil one in that desolation, and so continue to persevere in choosing joy.